Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Most security systems react after a break-in begins. That's too late. SimpliSafe is different. It's proactive. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to spot suspicious activity before criminals get inside. Live monitoring agents can see, speak to, and scare off intruders in real time, quickly calling police if needed. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplisafe.com/podcast. That's simplisafe.com/podcast for 60% off. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
With TikTok ads, we went from 250,000 downloads to over 1 million downloads in less than a year.
I'm Eve.
I'm Anam, and we're the co-founders of Alinea.
Alinea Invest is an investing app for Gen Z.
We run 50 new ads per week with 3 variations thanks to TikTok's Smart Plus campaigns. If you're not advertising on TikTok, you're missing out.
Drive more app downloads only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Happy Friday. Welcome to Descendant In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetQL Network. What a show we got for you today. Conference tournament season continues to roll on. Great Friday slate of games. We got the quarterfinal rounds in the SEC and the Big Ten tipping off. Purdue and Michigan State are at halftime. Boilermakers up 7. We got Tennessee and Mississippi State getting ready to tip off. We'll give out some picks throughout the day today. We'll also look at a couple of upsets that happened yesterday. Creighton, Duke, BYU. Do we still like these teams heading into the tournament? We will discuss all of that. Kate Constable will join me later on in the show, and then we'll give out some best bets for today heading into the weekend. As always, any questions, comments that you guys have for us over the next 30 minutes, let us know. You can go to twitch.tv/BetQL, YouTube.com/OdysseySports, or you can go to Twitter and Instagram at the BetQL app and write us in there as well. Let's get this thing going. Class is in session. We're kicking off the show with Andrew Perloff, who joins me, co-host of Maggie and Perloff, 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time on CBS Sports Radio. You can follow Andrew on X at Andrew Perloff. Great to have you on the show, Andrew. Happy Friday, man. Lot to get to. We're going to talk a little bit about college basketball. We got so much NFL news going on. We had some breaking news like 10 minutes before we got onto the show. One of the all-time greats, Aaron Donald, has announced his retirement for the Rams. What were your thoughts when you heard the news that AD was going to retire?
I thought my Super Bowl dark horse, LA Rams, all of a sudden, forget the Super Bowl. Now we're going to fight to get in the playoffs. Like a wee. I just liked everything the Rams have done this offseason, and I love the Puka Nacua Cooper Kupp combo. I thought they were a really interesting team because they got dangerous at the end of last season, and now, poof, to me, it's gone. You cannot, that team is not going to win at that level without Aaron Donald. I don't care how old he is. I mean, he willed the team to a Super Bowl. Obviously, a surefire Hall of Famer. I don't even think that's a debate. To me, it's really interesting. It kind of knocks the Rams off that dangerous team list in the NFC. If you're looking at who can challenge the Niners, this is a very impactful, to me, and impactful for next year, more so than looking back at his legacy, which is absolutely unquestioned. I mean, the debate is, for him, is he the greatest defensive player in the history of the league? That's what we're talking about. I would personally go Lawrence Taylor. I'm a little older, more impactful in a way, but he's definitely in the conversation.
No question about it. Real quick before we move on to the next one, what's your pecking order now in the NFC West? We know San Francisco is the team to beat. Would you put Seattle now ahead of the Rams with Aaron Donald retiring, or do you still have the Rams in the two spot?
I'm not high on Seattle. I still have the Rams in the two spot. Obviously, San Francisco. You know, I have a bet, which I'm gonna pitch to you later about how many quarterbacks will get drafted. And I was kind of hoping Seattle would go with Michael Penix, local guy, knows the coaching staff. I thought he'd be a great fit with those excellent receivers there. But now they trade for Sam Howell, and it seems like they love Sam Howell, that maybe he's got a little Russell Wilson short quarterback thing going. So I think they're going to go in with Geno as a bridge and maybe Howell instead of that quarterback. I don't love it. I know that they fleeced the Broncos and got a lot of talented players, and I love Devin Witherspoon. I'm just not sure that they have all their pieces going together. I sell the Rams number two.
Yeah, I'm with you. I thought Fields was maybe a dark horse to go to Seattle before they got Hal, so we'll see what ends up happening with Fields. Speaking of Justin Fields, his current team as of now, the Chicago Bears, made some big news last night. Perloff getting Keenan Allen. We also had Hollywood Brown going to Kansas City as well. Which move did you like better last night, Keenan to Chicago or Hollywood to Kansas City?
So I'm going to go against the grain and go Hollywood to Kansas City. Keenan Allen's a way, way better player. There is no doubt about it. His history is unmatched. But I just been watching football long enough to know what happens when a quarterback puts that C on his helmet in Chicago. Anything that can go wrong will go wrong. Keenan Allen has not been durable. I'm not down on Caleb Williams. He's a superstar. I'm down on what's going to happen in Chicago. I think it's going to be a tougher year than people might think, because I heard the narrative today, oh, he's got Keenan Allen, he's got DJ Moore. They're going to have CJ Stroud rookie year 2.0. I just can't get there, even though I do like Keenan Allen. Now, Hollywood Brown, let's just face it, he's going to make a big catch in the playoffs, because that's what they needed. They needed a vertical guy. I actually thought that maybe they would go Darnell Mooney. I wasn't sure. They got that guy. He's just a perfect guy for the role. They do not need him to be an every down wide receiver, and he has been effective at times in NFL's career. It's really a function of the teams, not the players. I think that Hollywood's going to do something big in the postseason for Kansas City, because that's what always happens.
Yeah. No, I totally think it's a fair take. I don't think anybody really disagree with that. Keenan is certainly the better player, but scheme-wise, I mean, it's hard to argue that Hollywood Brown was exactly what the Chiefs are looking for, and they got him. Let's talk about maybe the biggest acquisition so far, free agency, Kirk Cousins going to Atlanta. Feels like for a couple of years now, when the Falcons have kind of been getting all this young talent with Pitts and London and Bijan, they've just been missing that quarterback. And now they finally feel like they have it. Certainly the odds makers feel like they have it as well. Atlanta's the clear favorite in the NFC South at even money. Are there your clear favorite as well? I know Tampa won last year. New Orleans is looking for a bounce back year, but do you think this is the Falcons' division to lose?
I picked the Falcons big time because they were 7-10 the last three seasons with getting nothing from quarterback. If you add 30% better quarterback play, you flip that to 10-7. Now, I don't think Kirk Cousins is leading the Super Bowl. I think he has a ceiling of how high he can go. But, man, just the actual play you got out of Desmond Ridder last year, 12 touchdowns, 12 picks, and 12 fumbles, I think, that is not acceptable in 2024. I have a lot of faith in modern medicine and the fact – I think Kirk's going to be fine. I think he'll be back from his Achilles. He never had any athleticism to start. All the metrics point to him being a huge upgrade for this offense. I think he's a great fit with Zach Robinson, a Sean McVay guy. He's going to know the offense. I'm one of the Kirk Cousins fan. We had a guest on. I think it was Diana Rossini, who said there's a Kirk Cousins cult among NFL coaches out there. They all want Kirk Cousins because he runs that Shanahan McVay offense better than anyone. I think it's going to work. And in all seriousness, I think they're a little thin at receiver depth wise. I think that Kirk's going to make all those players better, and it's going to work. And come on, winning the NFC South, it's a little bit like kissing your sister. It's not that hard. I don't know what kind of accomplishment. I think the Bucs take a small step back. I think the Saints are right there, but they're so inconsistent. And I don't love Dennis Allen, so I'm pretty confident in that Falcons bet.
So certainly Cousins to Atlanta was a big move. We had a ton of big names at the running back position, moves teams as well. Yeah. Derrick Henry went to Baltimore. I know you're an Eagles fan. Saquon went to Philly. Yeah. Josh Jacobs went to Green Bay. Was there a move that you liked the best? And as an Eagles fan, what are your thoughts on Barkley now going to the Eagles?
Okay. This is hard because I'm an Eagles fan. I'm actually a little more into Derrick Henry and to the Ravens. I hate to agree with a certain co-worker of yours named Nick Costos, who's, you know, what is he wrong, 75% of the time, 80%? I don't even have the numbers anymore. We disagree on pretty much everything, but he was defending it. Because I'm in New York. I'm an Eagles fan who lives in New York, and everybody was so mad at the Giants for doing this. The Giants did the right thing. He is an aging running back at 27 in today's NFL. That's not going to work. Henry's 30, I know. But he is an aging running back who's probably not worth the contract that the Eagles gave him. I know it's not that much money, but I just don't see this working as well. I think the Giants are better off without him. And I think he's going to be okay with the Eagles, but so much depends on Jalen Hurts. And I don't know. I've seen Barkley a lot in New York. He is not Christian McCaffrey as a receiver. He'll drop balls. And also the offense with Kellen Moore, that's a big adjustment for Hurts to hit the running back consistently. I actually think Derrick Henry fits better in Baltimore. If he is healthy, can you imagine being an opposing defense who has to adjust from tackling Derrick Henry to tackling Lamar Jackson? I think the Ravens are going to be on a revenge tour this year because they're so upset about how they lost in the playoffs. I just see this working. I'm being totally naive and going, I try to be analytical. A 30-year-old running back, that never works. Free agent running back, that never works. I'm into Derrick Henry. I think Saquon is going to be a little disappointing for Eagles.
All right. Before I let you go, Perloff, you teased it a little bit earlier, and you told me off air you got a couple of bets that you wanted to run by me. So what do you got? I'm interested to see.
Okay. There is two going on. My producer, EJ Stewart, great guy. Just he's naive. He doesn't understand how he's young like you. Doesn't understand how the world works. So we have a bet. 4.5 is the number of first round quarterback line we set. I say over. I say they're 5 or more. He says they're 4 or less. I have over. So we know it's going to be obviously the big ones: Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and Drake May. I know Drake May is falling a little, but not that far. I think JJ McCarthy's pretty safe. So it's the two X's. Agreed. That this hinges on. Bo Nix and Michael Penix, which side are you on?
I would take the over because I agree. We're getting 3 locks, essentially 4 locks, and I think there's a better chance that maybe we get 6 than we do only getting like 3 or 4 in the first round. You know what I mean? We know the NFL, you can't win without a quarterback. All these teams like in the back, you know, Denver, Tennessee, we don't know what they're going to do. So I'm with you. I would take the over on that.
Yeah, I thought Seattle would be a good spot too. Anyway, we'll see. The other bet is, and I don't think this bet exists. You could correct me if I'm wrong. Rookie of the year. I'm assuming Jaden Daniels is now the favorite to go number 2. I like him over Caleb Williams because we talked about situation. I just think that they're better weapons in Washington. I know Dan Quinn's a defensive coach. I think Cliff Kingsbury can dial up a play. Just like last year where C.J. Stroud put up big yards, I think Jaden Daniels, who I'm a huge fan of, has a great chance for success both throwing and running. The skinniness and the injury are my big concerns, but I think he'll be an instant hit in Washington. He will be my rookie of the year bet over Caleb.
I like both quarterbacks. For me, it would all come down to the price. I think the receivers are so stacked in this draft, too, and a bunch of them are going to be playing with really good quarterbacks, right? Like, there's a chance Marvin Harrison could be playing with Kyler Murray, and Neighbors could be playing with Herbert, and, like, a bunch of those receivers could be paired up with such good quarterbacks that I think there could be some good value on them. But if I'm picking between Daniels and Williams, I might be with you and take Daniels just because of the rushing factor, and especially if he goes to Washington with Kingsbury, that could be interesting. So we'll see what happens.
Do you think Caleb will be the favorite? Do you think Caleb will be the favorite? I think he will.
No doubt. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's probably minus money, if I'm being honest with you. I think he's like a minus 130, minus 140 probably. So see what happens.
Yeah, I think
it'll be
right.
Good. Andrew Perloff, co-host of Maggie and Perloff, 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time on CBS Sports Radio. You can follow him on X at Andrew Perloff. Andrew, really appreciate the time, man. Great talking to you. Enjoy your weekend. We'll talk again soon.
Yeah, I'd love to talk soon. Thank you.
All right, absolutely. Let's move on now and talk some more NFL free agency as we dive into some gridiron glass real quick. Broke it down really well with Andrew. Talked about a bunch of different things. Kirk Cousins, Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry. Totally agree with them on Cousins to Atlanta. They are the clear favorites to win the NFC South, and I think rightfully so. Not only now do they have by far the best quarterback in that division, but also the other head coaches. Like, do you really trust Todd Bowles? Do you trust Canales in his first year? Certainly Dennis Allen, no chance. We don't know what Raheem Morris is going to be yet in his second stint as a head coach, but because of all the talent that's there in Atlanta offensively, they were an underrated defense last season. I certainly think Cousins is the look with the Falcons at plus 100. And then what he was saying about the running back position, I agree. I like Derrick Henry the best of Baltimore. The Ravens love having a bruising running back. Gus Edwards was so good situationally for them. And just the threat of Derrick Henry. Think about it. Derrick Henry's entire career when he was in Tennessee, he was the focal point on the offense, right? When teams would create defensive game plans throughout the week when they were facing Tennessee, it would be catered around Henry. Well, now that he's in Baltimore, he doesn't have to worry about that. It's all going to be about Lamar and stopping Lamar. I think that's going to make big way for Derrick Henry. I told you guys when that news happened earlier in the week, look at the market for Derrick Henry to lead the NFL in rushing touchdowns. McCaffrey's going to be the clear favorite, but with Henry on the Ravens, I certainly think that could be a good bet to monitor as well. Some other news, all this receiving news that we've had, Keenan Allen, Hollywood Brown, Calvin Ridley earlier in the week. I really like the move that the Bears made yesterday, especially only giving up a fourth-round pick for Keenan Allen. Thought that was great. And don't think that Chicago might not get another receiver with the number 9 pick as well, right? You can never have too many weapons in the NFL. Look at the teams that they have to compete with. Look at the Lions, all the weapons that they have. Amon-Ra, Jameson Williams, Sam Laporta, Jahmyr Gibbs, right? You can never have too many. They've gotten DeAndre Swift. They have Keenan Allen now. DJ Moore is there. I think they could draft another receiver to go along with Caleb Williams in the first 10 picks. So I like what Chicago's doing. I really like the Hollywood Brown pick for Kansas City. Rasheed Rice and Travis Kelce are guys that work the middle of the field. Now you have a speed burner in Hollywood Brown who's going to open things up. This is what they were looking for. Obviously, they've tried it with Kadarius Toney, Mecole Hardman in the last couple of years. It really hasn't worked. Now I think they found that guy that they're relying on in Hollywood. So I think that could be dangerous. And then some teams that have been busy in the free agent market, certainly Green Bay with Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney. I don't know if Josh Jacobs is really an upgrade over Aaron Jones. I know he led the league in rushing a couple years ago. I thought Aaron Jones was a really good fit in that Packers offense. He was awesome towards the end of last season, into the playoffs as well, had 100-plus rushing yards against Dallas and San Francisco. Jacobs is a good back. He struggles with fumbles a little bit, and obviously he's dealt with injuries throughout his career, and it feels like they overpaid him a little bit. Xavier McKinney, they certainly needed help on the back end in the secondary, and they are hoping that they found that. And then Pittsburgh, with the moves that they made, the big ones, Russell Wilson and Patrick Queen. The Russell Wilson signing tells me that they don't think Kenny Pickett is obviously the guy long-term. I think Russ is going to start week one. And then Patrick Queen, I know a lot of Steelers fans are excited about that pickup. Patrick Queen's an awesome player. He's super athletic, but he really benefited playing next to Roquan Smith. Now that he's not going to have that anymore, we'll see how he looks with the Steelers. All right, let's talk some college basketball. We got a loaded slate today on this Friday. We're going to get into that in a little bit. But before we do, let's look at what happened yesterday. Some of the teams that lost, and who do we still like heading in to the NCAA tournament? We'll look at their odds to make the Final Four, their odds to win the national championship as well. Creighton was a big shocker yesterday, losing to Providence. They are plus 550 to make the Final Four, and they are 25-1 to win the national title outright. When I talk about all these teams, it's going to all be about the path. Creighton last year made it to the Elite Eight. They were a possession away from making it to the Final Four, but their path really opened up nicely for them. They were the 6th seed. They played against NC State in the 11th seed, got by them. Then they played Baylor in the second round. Baylor was a team that was top 10 in offense and 100 or worse in defense. Those teams never make it to the Sweet 16. Then they played Princeton in the Sweet 16, a 15 seed, which obviously helped them out. And then they got San Diego State in the Elite Eight. So it was a favorable draw for Creighton last year. They don't have much depth, and if they're not hitting their threes, they can lose to anybody. On the flip side, if they are making their threes, they can beat anybody. That's how they beat UConn so badly, because they were just raining in threes. It's a team that I really don't like moving forward. I don't like backing teams where you have to rely on them to hit their shots, so I would not back Creighton. Duke is another team. It's all going to be about matchups with Duke. But more specifically, if they go up against teams with great big men, I'm going to have no interest in Duke. That has kind of been the theme throughout the last couple of years, really, for Duke in their losses. When they go up against teams with good bigs, DJ Burns killed them yesterday for NC State. Certainly Armando Bacot in their matchups against Carolina. Lost to Arizona earlier in the year. He's got some good bigs. Tennessee in the tournament last year. They struggle with physical teams who have good big men, and I think that's going to be their Achilles heel in the tournament. If they can avoid teams like that, sure, Duke can make a Final Four run at plus 575, but until we see the bracket, no way I could bet on that market right now. BYU is another team that lost yesterday, a team that I think a lot of people are going to be intrigued by. Their metrics are pretty good. They won at Kansas. They almost won at Iowa State to sweep that season series. BYU is a team that shoots a ton of threes, and here's all you need to know about BYU. Yesterday in their game against Texas Tech, they shot 7 for 35. The game before that against UCF, they shot 14 for 30. Another one of those teams. It all comes down to the three ball. If BYU's making their threes, they can beat anybody. If they're missing, they could be upset and go home. What I do like BYU is when they go up against elite defensive teams. When they play the Houstons, the Iowa States, the San Diego States, these teams are so good in the paint, and they will let you shoot threes. And that's what BYU wants to do. If BYU plays teams like that and they're hitting their threes, they could certainly do some damage. Then a couple other teams, we had Dayton lose yesterday. I'm completely out on Dayton. They're going to be one and done. Maybe at most they win a game, but that's it. And then TCU is a sleeper team that I like. I know they really struggled to score the ball yesterday against Houston, but that's a team with a ton of veteran guards, a ton of seniors, and they just seem to play everybody close. For the most part, could be a dangerous 9 seed to watch out for is the TCU Horned Frogs. As for the games that we are eyeing today as we go off the glass, man, we got Tennessee in trouble right now. Mississippi State's up 15-4 early on in that game, 12 minutes to go in the first half, so maybe something to monitor there. We have this Michigan State-Purdue game going on right now as well. Purdue up 41-29. I like the game after this Purdue-Michigan State game. I like Northwestern plus 4.5 against Wisconsin. Wisconsin came out yesterday against Maryland and shot the absolute lights out of the ball. They were 10 for 13 from three-point range in the first half. Something tells me Wisconsin's not going to do that again. Northwestern is one of those teams that they just get you to play to their level. They get you to play games in the 50s and the 60s. It's what they do. This game feels like it's going to be close. It's going to come down to the final possession. We're getting 4.5 with the Cats. I will take Northwestern. St. John's and UConn. This is going to be a fun game tonight. Semifinal number one in the Big East. I'm going to take St. John's in the first half against UConn. UConn started a little bit slow yesterday in the first half against Xavier. We're only winning by one at halftime. These two teams played about a month ago at MSG. St. John's played them really tough in the first half. Last year, Rick Pitino's Iona team played UConn in the first round of the NCAA tournament. That game was close in the first half. Every UConn and St. John's meeting, it feels like, has the same theme, where Pitino has his team ready to play. They do a great job the first 20 minutes. They keep it close. And then UConn, like they do to just about everybody, comes out of the locker room, and they just blow away from teams. So I like St. John's plus 5.5 in the first half today against UConn. I also like Texas A&M plus 2.5 against Kentucky as well. Something I've noticed that's been very profitable here in these conference tournaments is when you have teams like Texas A&M who have already played a game going up against Kentucky who have not played a game yet, those teams like Kentucky show a little rust in the first half, right? Look at how Tennessee looks today against Mississippi State. Bulldogs played yesterday, Tennessee didn't, and Mississippi State is getting to Tennessee early. I think Texas A&M could do the same thing to Kentucky today as well. And then three games that I have left, my three favorite games of the day, Indiana plus 4.5 against Nebraska. Nebraska's a great team at home, but they are suspect at best on the neutral court or away from home. I like the Hoosiers plus 4.5 today. Also like Florida plus 4.5 against Bama. You guys watch the show. You know Bama is an auto fade team for us. They don't beat anybody outside of Coleman Coliseum in Tuscaloosa. I don't think they're going to start today. I like the Gators plus the points. And then I also like Colorado on the money line tonight against Wazoo. I think it's one of those games where the line is telling you a lot. Wazoo's the higher seed. They are ranked. They're playing Colorado, yet they are the underdog, and the Buffs are a team that absolutely need this game if they want to feel confident about getting into March Madness. I'll take Colorado tonight money line against Washington State. A reminder that on Sunday, tip off the madness with BetQL. As soon as the brackets are set, join Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on You Better You Bet Countdown to tip off presented by BetMGM at 7 Eastern. Whether you're in a local office pool or love the thrill of the bet, this is your pregame. Stream it anywhere or go with the Odyssey app or watch on twitch.tv/BetQL Sunday at 7 Eastern. Let's go to Model Making Money now. Check in with Kate Constable here on a Friday. See what's up with Kate. Any questions for Kate, go to twitch.tv/BetQL, YouTube/Odyssey Sports, or Twitter and Instagram at the BetQL app. Kate, happy Friday. What are the five-star plays BetQL has for us today?
Hey, PJ, I looked in college today, college basketball, to see if there's any five-star. We only have four-star plays. Things are kind of getting, you know, a little funky right now because it is tournament time. So five-star play is going to come from the NBA. It's Jazz +3 against the Hawks. Hawks have a ton of players out. Trae Young is still out. Sadiq Bey. And the Jazz also, you know, Lauri Markkanen is out. Jordan Clarkson is out. But the Jazz have been playing decent lately. They're really good at home. They're catching 3 points. So five-star play is on the Jazz to cover tonight.
All right, very nice. That's what the BetQL model likes. Kate, what about you? What are you betting tonight?
I really like the Pelicans team total over 112.5. They're playing the Clippers tonight. Clippers are on a back-to-back after winning in Chicago last night. This is their fifth game in seven days. A lot of travel, crossing time zones mixed in. So I think the Clippers are going to be tired tonight. I won't even be surprised if Kawhi Leonard and Paul George both rest. And the Pelicans offense, number 2 in 3-point percentage, number 7 in field goal percentage and in points per game. And they lead the league in fast break points. So if they can push the pace, get up and down the floor, they're going to tire the Clippers and the Pelicans team total over 112.5.
I like it. You know, Kate, I think the NBA, it's great that the model has a play there. You do too. Everybody's so focused on college basketball right now. The lines might not be as sharp in the NBA, so you could get some good value on some of those games. Speaking of college basketball, though, we do have a ton of great games today. Is there one in particular that you are most excited for?
PJ, you mentioned it. It's coming up in just a little bit, Wisconsin and Northwestern, because I have a future on Northwestern 16-1 to win the Big Ten tournament. So I need them to start things off really strong tonight. Wisconsin's tough. They play at a slow pace, great defensively, but I think Wisconsin's offense can get the job done tonight. Boo Booey's been great. Unanimous Big Ten selection this season. I like Chris Collins. Tournament time, he always seems to be able to step up and get the most out of his team. So I'm back in the wild. Wildcats today getting the upset and to win the tournament. Let's hope they can get past Purdue if Purdue is able to get past Michigan State right now.
Kate, I like the Northwestern look. I think they certainly could pull the upset today against Wisconsin. Anybody else that you think should be on upset alert today? Creighton went down yesterday. Duke went down yesterday. We know the upsets are coming. We just don't know where they are coming. But what are some other underdogs that you like?
Yeah, it wouldn't be a massive upset, but NC State, you just mentioned, they upset Duke yesterday. I think they can get past Virginia, and that's a little scary to say because this would be the perfect letdown spot. You just beat Duke, and now, you know, you face a Virginia team, maybe you let things slide a little bit, but I don't think that's the case. Virginia can't score, and NC State, they're able to score in bunches. You've seen what they've done the last couple games, scoring well into the 80s, high 70s. Virginia just can't match that. So I think NC State could potentially get another win, another upset win. And then I'm also looking at Texas A&M against Kentucky. Kentucky should win this game easily, but Kentucky's one of those high variance teams. If their offense is not clicking today, they can't defend. So getting it done on that end of the floor is going to be tricky. And that's when, come tournament time, some of these upsets happen, is when these offenses go cold. I worry a little bit about that for Kentucky. So I haven't bet anything on that personally, but that's a game that I'll have my eye on and be watching.
I'm with you, Kate. I like A&M first half. I'd probably take them +5.5 as well, and they certainly could pull off the upset. Should be a great day at College Hoops. Kate, thanks for stopping by. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you again next week when we have the brackets in our hands. It's going to be so good.
Exciting times. Thanks, PJ.
Absolutely. For those people who want to continue to bet but don't have the time to research each individual game, you need to download the BetQL app. It ranks each game on a 1-to-5-star scale based on its unbeatable analysis from spreads and over-unders to player props. Stay up to date and bet confidently with BetQL's help. All right, guys, time to wrap up the show now with PJ's plays here on Send It In. We're going to start with our prop lock in the NBA. They're giving us Nikola Jokic plus 170 to have a triple-double tonight against the Spurs, so we're going to take that. Obviously, the fear is that it's the Nuggets against the Spurs, so it certainly could be a blowout. Jokic might not play the fourth quarter, but all year, we've been betting on big men against Wembanyama, right? Embiid scored 70 against them. We were on his points. Giannis went crazy. We were on that. Anytime any of these premier big men in the NBA go up against Wembanyama, it seems like it brings out the best in them, right? It's the competitor in them. You can see that this is the next guy coming at your position, and it's like these top guys want to remind him where he still has to get to. Tonight he's facing the best big men, the best player in the NBA. I'm going to take Jokic triple-double at plus 170. My stay-away game today is going to be North Carolina and Pitt, UNC -7.5. Feels like North Carolina is the right side, right? It just seems like it's too easy that spread is only at 7.5. I'm staying away. We saw big upset yesterday in the ACC tournament with NC State beating Duke. Maybe we have another shocker today with Pittsburgh. Interested to watch that game because Pittsburgh absolutely must win this game if they want to make the NCAA tournament, but I'm going to stay away. Dog of the day is going to be Florida against Alabama. I just don't understand why Bama's 4.5-point favorites. I think Florida's the better team. I think they win today. I'll take the Gators +4.5. Shawnee Sharp, what is your best bet on this Friday?
Yeah, Peach, happy early St. Patrick's Day. Rocked out the Shamrock sweatshirt here. I'm going also with Nikola Jokic, over 25.5 points. The Spurs are also terrible just against centers in general. They're allowing 29.5 points per game in the last month. So I think Jokic, 25.5, is just way too low.
All right, very nice. My best bet's going to be the Colorado Buffaloes on the money line tonight against Wazoo. Colorado is minus 140. They are the 3 seed. Wazoo's the 2 seed. Wazoo is ranked. Colorado is not. I think this game's a market indicator. They're telling us who the better team is, and they're giving us an insight at probably who the right side to bet. I'll take the Buffs minus 140 against Wazoo. To recap, our best bets for today: Nikola Jokic is going to be my prop lock to record a triple-double against the Spurs. North Carolina Pitt is going to be the stay-away game. The Gators, +4.5, is going to be my dog of the day against Bama. Colorado on the money line, minus 140 against Wazoo, is my best bet. Thanks again to Andrew Perloff, Kate Constable, for joining me. Make sure you go check out the Send It In podcast wherever you get your podcast. Gave out a lot of good stuff here with a bunch of games later tonight. We'll see you on Monday. Enjoy the madness. Good luck the rest of the day.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Most security systems react after a break-in begins. That's too late. SimpliSafe is different. It's proactive. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to spot suspicious activity before criminals get inside. Live monitoring agents can see, speak to, and scare off intruders in real time, quickly calling police if needed. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplisafe.com/podcast. That's simplisafe.com/podcast for 60% off. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back-to-school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
You think you understand how this business works? but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.